Hi, welcome. It's Debbie Norling in California, and this is part one of Degunking Windows. Let me give you a little background on our setup here first. We have three computers. We are in my office, the famous office of the vibrating ceiling. And we have three computers. We have my laptop, which is recording this presentation. It's running Studio Recorder, and so you may occasionally hear prompts from Studio Recorder, especially since I'm not very good at using it, so don't laugh. And we're using a cheap microphone, which was a whole $12 at Fry's Electronics. I actually picked this up at a Fry's Electronics in Indianapolis, even though Fry's is a California invention. And you know, I tried some expensive mics and my microphone preamp and all that, and you know what? I am not getting any better recordings than with this $12 mic, because the more expensive mics are picking up all my computer's humming. So this is a little flat mic that you can pick up shrink-wrapped for recording conferences and stuff with your computer, Sound Blaster compatible. So this is in mono. There are three computers. As I said, they're hooked up to a mixer. This is a cheap Radio Shack mixer, and the idea is that if one of them yammers at us a lot, we can turn its volume down pretty quick. Nothing like hardware fade in and out. And the speakers are Dell, some Dell thing with a big woofer. I mean, the world's most giant woofer attached to them. I guess Dell wants you to think that it's high quality because the woofer is big. And I have the woofer, the bass on the woofer turned all the way down, so you can hear the synthesizers as clearly as possible. We're running Eloquence. And it's at 32%, which should be a good compromise for all of you who want speed and all of you who want clarity. I don't need you to pay attention to which computer is doing what at any given time. We're using three computers primarily to demonstrate how screwed up a computer can get, because if one computer was this screwed up, it probably wouldn't work. But gradually, all three of my computers have been getting slowly screwed up, and I've been letting it happen just so that I can make a podcast on it. So we're going to try to degunk all three of them simultaneously, and we'll do it a little at a time here. So step one when you're going to degunk your computer is find out what's already running, what's going on. So I booted this guy and I cleared out some of the junk because I want to show you what happens when it reboots. So we're going to first just look at our desktop. So let's do Windows key M.
Windows M, desktop, folder view, list view, not selected, my documents, Windows 6.5.
Okay, now everything that is on your desktop is typically just quick ways to get to applications. So even though there's a desktop cleanup wizard, you really don't have to worry too much about that. If you want less on your desktop, you can, but it's not going to really affect your computer's performance whether your desktop's big, crowded, or not crowded. All right, and we have a monitor switch here, and I'm going to use that to switch over to the other computer. This is a keyboard, monitor, mouse switch. It's nice because I have one keyboard, one monitor, one set of speakers, and I just pushed a button on the switch to switch between the two computers.
Windows N.
Okay, here we are. We are on our desktop with all of these computers. Okay, we're going to go back to my slowest computer first, the 800 megahertz Pentium. It's running XP Pro, and it's my employer's copy of JOGS. And since we're on the desktop, I'm going to tab over to the taskbar and see what's there.
Tab, start button, tab, toolbar, launch it, tab, running applications, taskbar.
And let's just arrow up and down the taskbar and see what's happening.
Land.
Well, that's what you want to hear when you degunk Windows. You don't want a bunch of junk on your taskbar. And if you're a JAWS user, you can use insert F10 to see what tasks are running. I'm going to go ahead and do that.
Window list dialog, running applications, list box, desktop, 1-1.
And that's what you want to hear. You want to make sure you don't have a lot going on while you degunk.
Escape.
Okay, let's do that with the other two computers. This other one, of course, this is my laptop, and it's running Studio Recorder, so we should discover that when we go to our taskbar.
Tab, start button, tab, taskbar, Studio Recorder, dash left bracket, document, 1-star, right bracket, button.
We got that.
Studio Recorder, dash left bracket, document, 1-star, right bracket,
and
button.
As I arrow around,
Studio Recorder, dash left, Studio Recorder,
that's all I hear. So that's a good sign, because that means we don't have anything else running. We have to run Studio Recorder so we can tape this, so that's okay. All right, and let's flip this little switch here and go over to my... okay, so my laptop is a 1.6 megahertz Pentium. It's running XP Home. because I'm too cheap to pay for a JOG license for XP Pro. And here we go. This next computer now is my 1.8 megahertz Pentium 4, my work computer I do all my OCR on, and this one is also running XP Pro.
Tab, start button, tab, toolbar, left tab, running applications, taskbar, land.
And that one's blank too, so we're ready to de-gunk everybody. So since we're starting on the fastest computer first now, let's go take a look at our system tray. There's a JAWS way to do it and a non-screen reader way to do it, so we're going to use both techniques. Let's start out with a JAWS way, which is insert F11.
Select the system tray icon dialog, list box, show current workflows, 1 of 6.
Okay, so we have 6 items in our first on our system tray on this first computer, and this is the first one is show current workflows, and that's an OmniPage icon. I know what that is. I use it every day at work, so I'm okay with having that running because I build workflows in OmniPage, and it's like batch jobs that will process a whole bunch of files, so I can feel like my computer's doing my job when I'm not here.
Spy-SD resident, 1173 processes blacklisted, period.
Okay, and my second thing running is SpyBot, and I do need to be sure I have spyware removers running on this computer because it is work-related and other people sometimes use it. There was a really great cast on Adware and SpyBot, so I'm not going to be covering that.
Book courier not connected.
Okay, this one's for my book courier, and I don't actually really need it. So the book courier is something that I can get rid of. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to log this. And that's the other thing I want to say to you is it's super important to log what you're doing, because you, especially if you have a busy life and you're going to get interrupted, you're going to forget what you removed and what you didn't. So proper troubleshooting really does involve creating a log. So I'm going to go and write, this is computer B. I have little tags on my computers that say that this is computer A, this is computer B. So this is B. So that's all I'm going to write is B and BC no. And that will tell me, okay, I don't need the book courier icon. Now the thing is I can access my book courier even though I don't have this thing in the system tray, and I know that. But there are many other things that show up in your system tray where you have no idea, do you really need this? We've already seen that I know I need OmniPage, and I know I need the book I know I do not need the book courier icon. Now what you're going to have to do is get on the web and research, and I'll show you how to do that coming up. Research some of this stuff that you may have running that you don't know if you need it or not.
JAWS for Windows.
Okay, well obviously we need JAWS here.
Volume.
And the volume icon, according to what I've read, really doesn't take up any memory system resources. I find that hard to believe, but apparently, and it certainly doesn't make any difference to me whether it's in my system tray. So we'll leave that.
Symantec antivirus.
And we do need Symantec antivirus. Okay, so we've used the JAWS list, you know, the little JAWS script that puts up a list box and shows us the system tray. And if we did want to get out of any of these applications, we could use the JAWS right-click to do that if the application has an exit on its right-click menu. So we're going to give that a try. We'll go up to Book Courier here.
Volume. JAWS for Book Courier not connected.
Okay, and then we're going to tab over.
Right single click button.
And we're actually running a JAWS script, as I said, that shows you a list box. So right single click is a button that's put up by the JAWS script. So we're going to do the right single click and take a look at our Book Courier transfer tool options here.
Enter. Context menu status test. Exit X.
And we'll do exit here.
Enter. Leaving menus.
Okay, so now we've zapped the Book Courier transfer tool from our system tray, but only for this session. Only for this session. It's going to come back when we reboot. The other thing that is important to realize here is we have used the JAWS method for doing that. Now, if I were sighted, what I would have done is I would have put my mouse in my system tray and glided along until I got to the Book Courier icon. I would have highlighted that, and then I would have tapped my right mouse button and I would have got that same menu. To me, it's also very important to know how I would do something if I was sighted, partially because I can help other sighted people do it, and partially because I just like to be informed. Okay, that's our fast guide. Let's go to our slowest computer. And let's do the same thing, but let's not use JAWS to do it. So we'll hit the button. This is my computer A, by the way. Not that anybody cares. This is my pokey computer. So this one, particularly, I don't want a bunch of junk running on it. Okay, so.
tab, toolbar, launch Internet Explorer browser button.
We actually will start the desktop here. Okay, so when you start on the desktop, then you can tap to the start button.
Toolbar, launch Internet Explorer, running applications, taskbar.
There's our taskbar, and then our next tab should be the system tray.
System tray, show current workflows button.
Okay, and so we are in our system tray, but we are not using a JavaScript now. We're just using Windows' ability to focus on it. And before Windows 2000, you couldn't focus on the system tray, so that was super annoying. Okay, so show current workflows. Like I said, I always keep that because I need it. It does actually slow my system down a bit. Once again, if you get something like this in your system tray, you don't know what it is, you're going to need to do some research.
Spybot-SD resident 1173 processes blacklisted period. Button.
Okay, and there's Spybot, and we need that. And we're just down arrowing here.
Boot courier not connected button.
Okay, there's our boot courier transfer tool again, which we're going to make go away.
Button.
And I don't know what this is. And that's going to be part of our adventure here, is finding out. There's just like this button here.
Volume button.
Volume button, which we keep the volume.
Symantec antivirus corporate edition button.
And we're going to keep that.
JAWS for Windows button.
Keep that.
9:56 a.m. clock.
And when you get to the clock, you know you're through with the system tray. So step one, we're going to go back up and see what this button is that doesn't say what it is.
System tray, JAWS for Windows button. Symantec app, volume button.
Now there's two ways I could do this. I could actually try to use the JavaScript to see if it knows what it is. It may or may not, but we're bouncing between using and not using JAWS so that WindowEyes users or Slimware Window Bridge users or whatever don't feel left out here. So I'm going to press enter here and see what we get. I'm on this button.
Enter. Local area connection status dialog. General page. Property.
Huh? Okay. So that is the icon for my network connections. And Windows XP always has this. And you can actually make this icon go away. But I'm going to do that in a future cast. So I'm also going to write down now for computer A. Okay. Then I want to get rid of my network connections icon. If you don't know Braille, what you should be doing is using a cassette recorder or a Braille, Braille and Speak. That's great if you don't know Braille. A voice note or something like that to keep notes. I can't emphasize the importance of keeping notes. Even if you do not have a lot of technical skill, keeping notes can really save your butt, because then if you screw something up, you can always go back and document what you did, and someone can assist you. But if you didn't take notes, it's much harder for someone with more technical skill to figure out what you did. Connection. I'm writing abbreviations. To go. And a lot of times when I haven't removed it yet, I just write to go. And that lets me know I'm going to be getting rid of it, but I haven't done it yet. I've noted that it needs to, we need to say goodbye to this process. Okay. All right, so we're done with this. So we're going to take a look at our laptop now. Slide our keyboard tray in here. And we'll take a look at what's going on our laptop here. And I'm going to go back to the JAWS method because I actually don't like the other method so much. I really like having a script that lets me left click and right click and all. So, and I think there's probably a WindowEyes way to do it. If someone wants to cast that, that'd be wonderful.
Select the system tray icon dialog, list box, Nokia PC Suite 108.
Okay, now this is really a screwed up computer. First of all, Nokia PC Suite puts all kinds of fun stuff in your registry, some of which you don't need. This, I know from reading documentation, I don't actually need this Nokia PC Suite running all the time. So I'm going to put L for laptop. L, and I don't want PC Suite, and I'm going to write to go, because that means it's going to go, but maybe not right this second. All right, let's go down.
Spybot-SD resident 1173 processes blacklisted period.
Okay. Boy, that's a lot of processes blacklisted. We want to keep that.
Norton antivirus auto dash protect enabled.
I'm actually running a much later version of Norton than my employer is. So it's a lot more flexible. So what I'm going to do right now is write L for laptop, NAV for Norton antivirus, and I'm going to write to look, because that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to go, but I have to look at it and see what's running that maybe I want to be rid of. Okay.
Norton Ghost, unable to connect to the agent, period.
Now,
service.
This is completely screwed up. This is Norton Ghost, which is a backup program, and it works great, but it put way too many processes in my registry. And I, like a complete idiot, tried to go in and manually edit the registry, and I got rid of one of the processes, but the other process is unhappy. So it keeps griping that it is unable to connect to the service. So that is going to require quite a bit of tweaking. and I'm not even sure how to do it yet. So by the end of the cast, we'll have it gone, but or by the end of part four, so we'll have it gone, I think.
JAWS for Windows.
Okay, we want to keep JAWS.
Volume.
And we're going to keep the volume. And here's our book courier again, and we won't exit because I just wanted to show you could make it go away temporarily. But we need to make that go away permanently.
3:32 hours left, Fahrenheit, 8% right, Fahrenheit remaining.
Okay, and that's actually the icon from my battery. That's not the clock, and it's. I like to keep that going too. I know how to remove that. This is the Fujitsu battery utility, and I can get rid of my battery utility, but I like to know how long we got. Okay, and that's the end of what's in my system tray. So I've got a list now of what I don't want in my system tray and what I want to look at for all my computers. And that's nice, because now I don't have to go back to my system tray again. I've got it all written down here. This is going to get really tedious, I know, but I just can't believe this. I've worked with blind people. I don't teach access technology, but I often bail people out when they have trouble. We have a sighted guy here who teaches access technology. And I cannot believe how stubborn these young blind people are about taking notes. They say, oh, well, I have a really good memory and I don't need to write this down. Well, you know what? If you get good at writing things down, you can use your great memory for something more important than remembering what details, like what keystrokes you need. And I do not have a good memory and I'm always taking notes. And I think it's so crucial to develop the habit of taking notes about what's going on. So. Sorry to be tedious about it, but I see so many people who have screwed up their computers very badly and have no idea what they've done. And take notes. You'll really appreciate that when you go talk to someone and have them help you out. And believe me, for me even, sometimes going back through my notes will tell me what I did, because, you know, I may wake up in the middle of the night and remember, oh, that's why it doesn't work. And I can go back and see exactly what steps I took. Okay, all right. Mom's done lecturing here. All right, next we're going to reboot all these guys and see what happens. They all do different and various weird things when they reboot. We're not going to... Oh, I guess can we reboot the studio recorder? I guess we're not going to reboot the studio recorder. We're going to reboot the two screwed up computers. Unfortunately, we cannot reboot the studio recorder computer, but we'll just have to kind of work around that. So first of all, let's just shut this guy down.
Start menu, job view, leaving menus, shut down Windows dialog. What do you want the computer to do? Question, combo box, shut down, 204,
and we're going to do R for restart.
R, restart.
Okay, before we do restart that, let's go ahead and switch the other computer and set it up to reboot, because they'll both take a while. Okay.
Start menu, job 7.0.1.1, JU, leaving menus, shut down Windows, shut R, restart.
Okay, so we're ready to restart them both, and we'll let them both restart at once.
Enter. Local area connection status dialog. General page. Properties. Please wait. Dot. Dialog. Save in your settings. Dot. Save in your settings. Dot. Please wait. Dot. Dialog. Save in your settings. Dot. Save in your settings. Dot.
Okay, and they're both rebooting on us. We'll pretend like we're one of those cooking show hosts, and we'll just go to a commercial until we take the cookies out of the oven.
Password. Start.
Yeah, I'm typing in my administrator password, and we're gonna booterate. Here we go.
Enter. Please wait. Dot. Dialog. Login your personal settings. Dot. Login your personal settings. Dot. Restoring network connections. Dialog. Restoring the connection to /. Access to /staff. Cancel button. Folder view list view not selected. 1 of 20. Desktop. Folder view list view not selected. My documents. 1 of 20. Desktop. Folder view list view not selected. My documents. 1 of 20. Could not reconnect all network drives. : click here to open my computer and see the status of your network drives. Period.
Okay. Well, that's one problem. So A is unable to connect to some network drives. That's because they keep changing things around. Okay, good. So we need to fix that. Okay, looks like we're okay now. Let's see what's happening. We'll be looking at our task manager too really soon now. But it's always good to look at it right after you reboot. So let's see what's happening here in our system tray just real quick on this slow computer.
No brain found.
Oops. Help if I hit the right key, wouldn't it?
Select the system tray icon dialog, list box, show current workflows, book courier not connected, Spybot-SD, JAWS for Windows, volume, Symantec antivirus corporate edition.
Okay, so we're cool. We don't have that much going on here.
Not selected my documents. Tab. Start button. Tab. Toolbar launch it. Tab. Running applications. Taskbar.
Toolbar doesn't matter either. Just a bunch of quick launch icons. So it's not really stuff that's running now.
Escape.
Okay. All right. So that computer's pretty okay, except for the network connection mess up. And of course, we will be looking at our task manager in a bit. See if there's something else. This doesn't keep us from running spyware, but, you know, it lets us know that anything we installed has been taken care of. All right, let's go look at our fastest computer here. Now listen close, because this computer is very screwed up.
Enter. Desktop, folder view, list view, not selected my documents, 1 of 34, desktop, found new hardware wizard dialog, install the software automatically, left parent recommended, right parent radio button checked, 1 of 2, BCT start dialog, install the software automatically, left parent recommended, right parent radio button checked, 1 of 2, alt plus I, BCT start, found new hardware wizard dialog, install the software automatically, left parent recommended, right parent radio button checked, 1 of 2, alt plus I, free desktop weather setup dialog, page has no links, desktop weather gives you critical severe weather alerts, period.
Okay, there's a lot going on with this computer. This is my faster computer, unfortunately, too. Okay, the first problem is that when I installed RealPlayer, I somehow said yes to something I should have said no to, and now I've got this free desktop weather setup. And I know about the found new hardware wizard. The reason I've got that is because when I was moving into this office, I accidentally flipped a switch on my scanner, and now the SCSI, it's showing all the SCSI addresses open. So I have to look at my scanner documentation and figure out why that's happening. So, okay, so first of all, I'm going to write down that on B, hardware wizard has to go, because my scanner's working fine, but Windows doesn't realize that. Also, weather has to go, because I don't care about free desktop weather. Okay, so we know that those need to go. You're saying, wait a minute, she hasn't actually cleaned up anything. But I want to emphasize that taking the time to figure out what you have to do is just as important as doing it.
Next greater button, alt plus N.
And, you know, you don't need to be impatient, because, you know, your computer will stay screwed up until you get around to fixing it. So, okay, well, right now we're going to temporarily get out of these things, and because I know I don't want them. So, and that's kind of annoying. Get rid of the hardware wizard when you don't want it. You have to press escape, and it'll come back.
Escape, free desktop weather setup dialog.
We'll worry about that in a minute, because the hardware wizard's going to come back in a minute, and then we'll press escape again, and it'll decide my hardware's broken.
Alt-tab.
Okay, so let's get rid of the free desktop weather setup.
Help us customize.
Okay, we don't care about customizing this program, so we're going to just try to exit the free desktop weather setup.
Alt-F4, .T, you want to complete the setup program question, dialog. If you exit now, you want .T, receive critical storm, hurricane and tornado alerts direct from the weather channel, period. You want .T, have the current temperature automatically displayed next to the time on your desktop, period. Complete installation question, yes button, alt plus Y.
Now, it's really important here. If I do yes, I'll end up getting this thing permanently installed. And I'll have the current temperature next to the time, which sounds like a nice idea, but you know what? I may also have spyware. I don't know what this thing is, so I really don't want it. So,
no button, alt plus
so
N.
I'm going to be very careful about no. And I actually want it to completely go away.
Enter, desktop, folder view, list view, not selected my documents. One.
Okay, so the free weather setup is gone, but only now. When I reboot, it'll come back, because it's not done, and it knows it's not done.
Alt N.
Okay, before we go into Task Manager, a couple things to say about it. First of all, you have so much stuff that's running in the background on your computer that you're totally unaware of. It doesn't show up in your system tray. It doesn't show up on your task bar at the bottom of your desktop. It does show up in your Task Manager. And if you're familiar with Unix and you've heard of daemons, that's just what these programs are. You have applications and processes. Applications are full programs. Processes are usually system-level tasks that many of which are started by Microsoft. They are also sometimes called services because they serve other programs. And you just plain don't need them all running. And I'm going to be talking a lot about researching these tasks, and I'm going to tell you where you can find answers right now. My favorite database is at sysinfo, sysinfo.org, sysinfo.org, and that's the one I like the most. I have contributed to it extensively, so some of the entries in there are created by me. Every time I did tech support, I made a point of giving back to the community and documenting any background tasks I knew about. But let's tell you about some of the others. There's bleepingcomputer.com, that's B-L-E-E-P-I-N-G dash computer, C-O-M-P-U-T-E-R.com, C-O-M. And if it doesn't work with a dash, try it just all read together. It seems like their domain name has changed over the years. I'm not sure what it is these days. There's greatis.com, G-R-E-A-T-I-S.com. There's windowsstartup.com, just as you would expect, W-I-N-D-O-W-S-S-T-A-R-T-U-P.com. There's PAX Portal, P-A-C-S hyphen P-O-R-T-A-L dot C-O dot U-K, P-A-C-S hyphen P-O-R-T-A-L dot C-O dot U-K. And in addition to sysinfo.org, which, as I said before, was my preferred one, all of these websites do have databases of startup applications. So when you get on their sites, look for startup applications, Windows Startup, System Tray, Task Manager. Those are the kind of keywords you're looking for in order to find links to their databases of applications. What I like the most about SysInfo, actually, is it's completely community-driven. So it isn't one guy building a database. It's thousands of users. So yeah, some of the data may not be entirely accurate, but much of it is very accurate. And much of it is contributed by tech support folks inside of companies who had a lot of inside knowledge about what some of these background tasks are. And before you start removing things, you really need to know what it is, why it's running, before you can make your own personal decision about whether or not you need it. You may not want the hotkey utility. I may want the hotkey utility. So it's really important for you to take knowledge into your own hands and know what's running and why it's running. All right, so we're going to start again with a faster computer, and we're going to go ahead and look at our task list. To do that, we go Control-Alt-Delete.
Alt-Control-Delete, Windows Security Dialog. You are logged on as Norling 139 DBAC slash administrator period. Log on date colon 3 slash 17 slash 2610 colon 07 colon 39 AM. Lock computer button.
Okay, well, we know who we are here, so we're going to do tab over to the task list.
Tab, log off, dot, dot, tab, shutdown, dot, dot, tab, change password, dot, tab, task manager button, Alt plus T.
And we could have just done Alt T, but I'm a big believer into tabbing the things until I absolutely am sure what keystroke does it. If I had done Alt L by accident, I had better know my password, unlock it, for example. So sometimes tab is safer until you know what hotkeys do what.
Space.
Now there's a few non-obvious things I want to go over here. First of all, the image name is the name of the program. That's the name of that's the file name or the task name that's running at any given time. It's usually pretty short. I don't know what's going on with these programmers. We've got FAT32. We have long file names, but they insist on giving their files names like MDQRSV, and I don't know. I wasn't a Windows programmer. I was a DOS programmer, so I don't know why they're not taking advantage of all these long file names. Maybe Rick Harmon knows why programmers insist on giving file names such cryptosity. Anyway. Okay, the username is the name of the user that's running that task. If you're a system administrator and you've got more than one user, you can see who's running what. I don't really see that as an issue on a single user Windows system. The memory usage is the number of kilobytes, megabytes, or heaven forbid, gigabytes that it actually takes up. The CPU usage is the percentage of CPU time it's taking, and the CPU time is the number of CPU cycles it's taking. This esoteric is only important if you're a programmer, so typically I turn off one of those, and that's where I'm leading next, is under view you can actually choose which columns you want to display, and I find it most helpful to display the fewest columns that I need. I'll be showing you how to do that in a minute. Certainly you can turn off things like the username, and you might just want to have the CPU usage and the memory usage and turn off all the other stuff so you get a clear picture of what's running. Also, when you want to sort these items by one of those columns, you just click on the column. So if I wanted all those things sorted in alphabetical order, I click on the name column. If I wanted them sorted by memory usage, I click on the memory usage column. If I wanted to see them in order of the amount of CPU cycles they take, I'd click on the CPU column. And sometimes the column headers aren't entirely clear, but you might have to do a little experimenting. If I click the first time, it's ascending sort, and if I click again, it's a descending sort. So effectively, what you can do is make your display a lot less cluttered. I didn't show it to you that way, primarily because I wanted you to see it the way it would appear by default on your system. But in a later cast, especially after we start to clean up our system, we will be looking at it with a much less cluttered display, with a column view that shows just what you want to know, nothing more, nothing less.
Jotalbert.x administrator 001,924K.
Okay, that's the first process, and it takes 924K. Gosh, remember the days that 640K was all you could get?
Task.x administrator 045,024K. Traffic 826. DCTstart.x administrator 003,472K.
So the 472K for the book courier transfer tool startup, which basically just tells you whether your book courier is connected or not. And I think I'll just, performance is important because it lets you know who's eating up all your memory, so.
Root jaws to PC.
Let's just go up and look at it one line at a time.
Page up. File and applications tab, processes tab, performance tab, networking tab. CPU usage history. Traffic 282, 22%. PF usage page file usage history.
So, first of all, we know that 22% of our CPU is locked up by all this stuff running.
Graphic 724, 190 MB. Total physical memory left parent, K right parent, handle 6132, total 260,620. Threads 338, available 64,804. Processes 31, system cache 118,640. Commit charge left parent, K right parent, kernel memory left parent, K right parent, total 195,008, total 41,864. Limit 640,508, page 37,508. Peak 206,900 on page 4356. Processes colon 31, CPU usage colon 22%, commit charge colon 194,940K slash 64,050, graphic 861. Processes colon 31, CPU usage colon 6.
Now, what happens here is if you're a programmer and you're writing code, it's important to see, make sure these numbers don't go up too drastically. If you're a user, you're kind of stuck with the code the guy wrote, so you don't have a lot of choice. But you do want to monitor these numbers every once in a while to make sure nothing really weird's going on. It would be nice if I could get rid of some of this stuff running, but you know, obviously I'm using my computer at work now, even though I haven't degunked it, so it's not too badly screwed up. Now, we're still in the investigating stage. We haven't actually degunked anything, but we want to end a few tasks and see if the computer's stable and all that
processes
happy stuff.
31 CPU usage, colon 20.
So let's look at file and see what
menu.
We can do under here.
New task left parent run dot 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 right parent. Exit task manager.
You might run a new task if for some reason you were troubleshooting the effect of getting rid of something and putting something back. Exit's pretty self-explanatory. Escape will do the same thing.
Graphic file menu bar options menu bar view menu bar help menu.
Let's take a look at the options menu. It has some interesting stuff in it.
Menu. Always on top checked. Always on top checked. Minimize on use checked. Hide when minimized. Show 16 dash bit tasks checked. Always on top checked.
Okay. I have no idea why you would want to not show 16 bit tasks, but possibly for debugging.
Minimize on use checked. Always on top. Hide when minimized. Minimize on.
Now you can actually have it shown when minimized, which is kind of cool if you want to be monitoring your system performance while you do different things.
Escape menu bar processes page options.
Okay, And let's just take a look at view, because that lets us look at these tasks different ways.
Menu is on top tab. Always on top checked.
Whoops.
Escape menu bar. Alt V menu. Refresh now.
Okay, that's good. Refresh is important because sometimes the screen doesn't stay current.
Update speed sub menu. Select columns dot dot dot.
Select columns I'm going to come back to because it's very useful.
Refresh now.
Okay. It is actually that refreshing, the continuous refreshing you hear, that is what makes JAWS yammer so much. If you have the update speed set on high, you have JAWS set to say highlighted, it's going to repeat every second because it is indeed refreshing that screen. As your computer runs, it's alive. I mean, things are happening. The CPU usage is going up and down all the time. The background tasks are changing every once in a while. And so if you were to keep this window up, it'd be refreshing all the time. But if you were focused on that window, JAWS would be reading you that refresh ad infinitum. If you do have a Braille display, it's kind of convenient to actually set it up so that Task Manager refreshes on your Braille display, but JAWS doesn't speak it. That's a little bit out of topic for this cast, but you can set JAWS to go to sleep speech-wise, but continue to display Braille for the Task Manager window, and I find that very, very useful. But that's a little hard to demonstrate here, so we're going to go back to just hearing speech. I don't think you'd want to hear Braille anyway. Let's go back to update speed.
High checked. Normal. Low.
Now, what this update speed does for you is if you're monitoring real time what's happening, you obviously the very process of monitoring your process is going to slow your computer down. So you can change how often it actually refreshes the task list. High is fine because the task manager is the only thing I'm running now. But say I was writing a program and I wanted to know if it was gobbling up a lot of memory. Maybe I was wondering if I had a memory leak or something, then I might keep the task manager active.
Escape menu update speed.
Since most of us are not programming, we're just trying to deal with the results of bad programming. we'll keep the update speed on high. Okay, now let's go back to this columns, because the columns is really useful.
Update speed. Select columns dot dot dot.
Okay, and now for this I'm going to turn on my highlighting.
Highlighted.
All right.
Enter. Leaving menus. Select columns dialog. OK button.
Okay.
Caps lock on. Caps lock off. Tab, cancel button, tab, pin left parent process identifier, right parent checkbox not checked, Alt key.
Now, here's all the things that you can show in your view, and your screen's only so wide, so you can't see all of it at once. So, do you want the process?
Pin left parent process identifier, right parent checkbox
identifier?
Not checked.
No. That might be, again, useful if you're programming.
Tab, CPU usage checkbox checked.
CPU usage is really nice.
Tab, CPU time checkbox not checked.
CPU time, I'm going to uncheck that.
Space checked. Space not checked. Tab, memory usage checkbox checked.
I think that's useful to have.
Tab, memory usage delta checkbox not checked.
I'm going to keep that
tab,
off.
Keep memory usage checkbox not checked.
Okay, I'm going to keep that off.
Tab, page faults checkbox not checked. Tab, user objects checkbox not checked. All new tab, /o reads checkbox not checked. Tab, /o read bytes checkbox not checked. Tab, session ID checkbox not checked. All tab, username checkbox checked. All dead.
Now, I'm me, administrator. If I was, if I had other users that were running this on this computer, maybe I'd want to know what users ran what, but I don't. So I'm going to get rid of this column.
Space, not username checkbox not checked.
Okay.
Tab, page faults delta checkbox not checked. Tab, virtual memory size checkbox not checked. Tab, page pool checkbox not checked. Tab, /page pool checkbox not checked. Tab, base priority checkbox not checked. Tab, handle count checkbox not checked. Tab, thread count checkbox not checked. Tab, GDI objects checkbox not checked. Tab, /o writes checkbox not checked. Tab, /o write bytes checkbox not checked. Tab, /o other checkbox not checked.
So as you can see, you mostly don't need much of this, but the advantage of it's here if you want to further troubleshoot what's going on.
/o other bytes checkbox not checked. OK button.
Okay, so I've reduced my view a little bit. I got rid of the name and stuff. So
enter processes tab.
Okay, so now we're going to look at the processes a little differently here. We're going to actually maximize the window and see if it looks
all
a little different.
Menu, restore the eggs, leaving menu, applications tab, processes tab, performance tab, networking tab. BCT start.x003,472k3 of 31. Ttimer.x004,572k4 of 31. Opera 14.x001,976k5 of 31. Alt.x003,356k6031.
Now there's only one button in this whole thing that's useful. If you're focused on one of these, you can tab over to end process.
End process button, OD.
And you can do that. I'm going to end process here on the op scheduler, which I know will not cause any harm. I won't be able to run OmniPage this session, that's all.
Enter.
Or at least OmniPage automatically.
End process button.
Okay, so hopefully it ended the process. Now, it may still be there because I haven't done a refresh.
Tab, processes, tab.
Some processes are much more recalcitrant. You go to end them and you get errors from other processes. So processes do have a lot of dependencies.
Applications, tab, processes, tab, for tab.
Okay, this part of the podcast I decided to redo because what I did is I went through all three of my computers, task manager, processes tab, and I showed you all the processes that were running. And it was really tedious. And so I'm going to do the same thing now, but try to keep it from being tedious and still let it be informative. What I've done is I took notes on all the processes that were running, reduced the number of columns that I had displayed. And so I'll show you all the processes running and tell you what I know about them. And I'm deliberately not going back over my notes from when I previously degunked so that you can actually see what state you might start at if you were degunking from ground zero from the first time. So this is computer A we'll start out with. It is 800 megahertz Pentium 3. And we're going to be reading these. I'm also going to be spelling them to you. The first one is OPWARE14.exe. That tells OmniPage that you are running Word at the moment. If you were to delete OpWare 14, OmniPage would work fine, but you couldn't run it from inside of Word. The next one is ALG.exe. That's on my to research list. Next we have WDFMGR.exe. That's on my to research list. Next we have SVCHost.exe. This is a catch-all service. Microsoft runs multiple instances of it. It's used for many different things, and it is also able to load other services on the fly. So it's important to always keep all the multiple instances of SVC host running. The next one is rtvscan.exe. I don't know what that is. Next is mdm.exe, also on my to research list. Next is jfw.exe. That's JAWS, and I sure want to keep that. The next one is defwatch.exe, and that will be on my to research list. Next is jhooklldr.exe. That again is part of JAWS. I think it has something to do with a video intercept manager. I'm not sure, but I do know that I need to be very careful if I think I want to get rid of it, and I probably don't. Next is spoolsv.exe. That's the print spooler, and it's important to keep that running. The next is taskmgr.exe. That's what we're running right now while we look at the task list. The next one is svchost.exe, a multiple instance, and another multiple instances. We've seen it running three times now, four times, five times, so you'll see it often repeated. Next is explorer.exe. Very important, if you end task on Explorer, you can crash your entire Windows, though not always. That's Windows Explorer, the shell, the heart of Windows. Next, bctstart.exe. That's actually part of the Book Courier, but you don't really need to run it. The Book Courier transfer tool needs to be loaded manually if you don't have bctstart.exe loaded. bctstart is auto detects your Book Courier and can load the Book Courier transfer tool automatically if you so desire. Next we have ctfmon.exe. And I just want to add that I did sort my columns out here, so I only have the CPU usage And at the moment, CPU usage changes all the time, but at the time I took these notes, that was the CPU usage and the amount of memory that it took up. This is our sixth instance of SVCHOST. Next is VPTRAY.exe. Again, that's on my to research list. And then LSASS.exe. That's also on my to research list.
Services.exe.
That's another Microsoft service that can load other services on the fly. It sort of is the on-demand service. It keeps track of what's happening on your system and what's needed and when. Don't get rid of it. Then winlogon.exe. That's important according to my books. Don't delete it.
CSRSS.exe
is on my to research list.
TEATIMER.exe
is part of SpyBot Search and Destroy. I have a cryptic note that says I want to keep it, but since I don't remember why, I need to do more research. SMSS.exe. I believe that's part of Microsoft's Smart Message Service or maybe Windows Messenger. I have a note here that says I can delete it, but again, I can't remember why. So I'll either have to look through my other notes or I'll have to start researching again why I want SMSS.exe. Another reason I might want it is perhaps a local system administrator here told me to be sure and keep it. OPSCHEDULER.exe. That's a very important part of OmniPage for me. It's the process that is running to tell OmniPage when to do a batch job. I have OmniPage run many batch jobs overnight when I'm not here. An ordinary home user probably wouldn't want to do that, and so wouldn't need this task running all the time.
HPLAMP.exe
is for my ScanJet. I've had ScanJets in the past where if you ended process on HPLAMP, your whole hardware would stop working and you would have to completely reinstall it. I've had other HP scanners that don't seem to care whether HPLAMP.exe is running or not. So you take your risks here with this utility if you get rid of it.
Workflowtray.exe
is another part of OmniPage's quite impressive batch management strategy. Workflows are a way that you can design batch jobs so that I can tell it what to do when, and I need this task, even though it does take up substantial resources.
System,
you always will see one or two instances. You'll
see
one or two instances of the system idle process. It usually is the very last thing on the list. And of course, you need to have that running. That's computer A. We're going to zip through computer B, which is a 1.8 megahertz Pentium 4. Because most of the processes we'll see running on it are exactly the same as what we're running on the other machine. Okay, so we'll begin with computer B. There's JHook LDR, TASKMGR, Notepad, which I was using to take notes. There's the Weather Channel. That's actually THEWEATHERCHANNEL.exe. Remember, we wanted to get rid of that. This may be the way to make it permanently go away, so I will never have the temperature displayed next to my time on the taskbar. Here's BCT start again. ACROTRAY.exe. That's some part of Acrobat Reader. I think it just allows it to load faster. Acrobat is just never loads very fast anyway, and I don't think I want the performance hit from this. But again, I'll want to research it a bit more first.
VPTray,
we already looked at that. TTimer, OpScheduler, ALG, still on the research list. Here is REALSCHED.exe, some schedule for Real Player I have never used, probably don't need. And we'll research it, though, before it goes. Goodbye-bye.
Explorer,
WDFMGR, RTV Scan, Opware 14, MDM, JFW, DEFWTCH, SPOOLSV. Here's a new one, CC. EVTMGR. There's a bunch of CC things in here, and I don't know what they're for, but this must be its event manager. I guess I better find out what CC stands for.
CC set MGR.
Here's another instance of SVC host. Here's another instance of SVC host. CTFMON workflow tray. SVC host. SVC host. SVC host. Here is CCAPP.exe. Boy, I better figure out what this CC program is, because it's got a lot of stuff running. LSASS.exe, services.exe, win logon, TOTRECSCHED.exe. That's the total recorder scheduler. I'm a big fan of this Dick Estelle guy who reads novels on the radio. Book Time, I think it's called. Anyway, he's on WFPL in Louisville, Kentucky at 7 at night. And I'm at home at 7 at night. So I have the total recorder scheduler running to record Dick Estelle reading, because then I can listen to it at lunch, which is very cool.
CSRSS.exe.
SMSS.exe. And here we're down to system idle process. And so, yeah, a lot of stuff's running in computer B, too. Now, computer A had 22% of CPU usage, but this one, curiously enough,
processes, :37 CPU usage, :7% commit charge, :270.
Only has 7% of the CPU usage. Now, that's going to change all the time. If you kept this window open, the CPU usage would be fluctuating. But that's interesting, probably because it's a faster computer. Now we're going to look at my last computer. Computer C, it's a Fujitsu laptop. It's a 1.6 megahertz Pentium with 512 megabytes of memory. And I am, of course, looking at the screenshots I took from Task Manager rather than Task Manager itself now.
Total mem right parent. Image name CPU mem used. BCT start dot x002.
All right. And the first one is BCT start. I'm going to quickly go over, just zip through the ones we've talked about already.
BCT start service tilde 1.x005.
SERVIC tilde 1.exe. I think that might be services.exe, but this is my only XP home machine, so that may be the reason that you're seeing the short file name. I don't know.
T-timer,
ghost tray, which is giving me nothing but headaches. Norton Ghost works like a great backup program. It works like a charm, but it loads so much junk in your services and your startup group, and ghosttray.exe is one of them, and I've been trying to make it go away, and it keeps coming back. I don't really need it to back up automatically when I'm not there. In fact, I don't want it to. So all these auto-loading parts of Norton Ghost are not my friends. Here's LANUNCH tilde 1, and it's been around forever, and I don't know what it is, and I better find out. APNTEX dot EXE. TOTRECSCHED dot EXE. JHOOKLDR dot EXE. CCAPP. Agent underscore MR dot EXE. You know, for all I know, that could be spyware. You know, sometimes these things are spyware. The spyware checkers never got rid of. But again, a little web research will help us out. Right now, we're in the documenting stage. And if you were to stop and research every time, you would never get anywhere. So it's good to write it all down and look for the patterns. And then you only have to go out and do your research once. TPPALDR.exe. I've seen that many times. I'm sure at one point I noted what it was. But in the spirit of starting at ground zero, we will not look at those old notes.
BTNHD.exe.
QuickTouch.exe. I actually need QuickTouch because my laptop has all these cute little keys on the front, and I like to be able to touch them quickly and have cool things happen. So they can play CDs and stuff, and it doesn't really seem to take up too many resources. But at least I know what it is, and I know if I don't want it, how to make it go away. ALG.exe. INDICATOR UTY.exe. That's something specific to my Fujitsu laptop, And it came back when I fixed a restore point. So I don't know if I need the indicator UDI, but who knows? We'll learn by the end of this series whether or not I needed it.
APOINT.exe,
LTSMMSG.exe, SPOOLSV.exe, there's the principler again, CCEVTMGR.exe. I'm beginning to think this CC thing might have something to do with Norton. Ah, yes, I saw this. This was the CC event manager. I wouldn't be surprised.
SPBCSVC.exe.
And I'm spelling to you using a braille display just so that I know I'm accurate. I have no clue what that is. SNDSRVC.exe. Isn't it amazing how much junk is running on this computer? CCSETMGR, SVC host, Explore, WDFMGR, SYMLCSVC.exe, SVC host, SVC host a fifth time, LSASS. .exe,
services.exe,
winlogon,
CSRSS,
NPROTECT, I know that is part of Norton, and protect. That's probably that auto protect stuff that makes your system run slower and hopefully saves your buns. Even if you've turned it off, perhaps it's running. I love Norton.
SMSS.exe.
NPFMNTOR.exe. You know, I bet if I got rid of Norton, my system would run a whole lot faster. I get more viruses, though. NICServe.exe. TASKMGR.exe, what we're running right now. NAVAPSVC.exe. JFW. GEARSEC. .exe,
notepad,
because we were using it to take notes, crypserv.exe, ATI2EVXX.exe. Why is it programmers have to have these cryptic names? I think that has something to do with my video. I remember I took it out and it was a bad thing. It was a very bad thing. JAWS wasn't happy. My computer screen was all squisherated up. Oh, it was a bad thing. So I'm kind of curious what it is, but I don't think it's going anywhere.
System 0,
all right, and we're finally in the system idle process. And this one actually had 46% of its CPU tied up. We're gonna drop out of Task Manager now. I think we've seen enough of it. And we're going to run a couple other diagnostic tools. We're first going to look at msconfig, which is what you can use later on to control the tests that actually run. And I don't particularly like msconfig for that. I prefer to use a program called Startup Control Panel, written by Mike Lynn, that is free and downloadable from the PC World site. However, because msconfig is on everybody's computer, I'm going to show it to you now. So first we do start.
Start menu, JAWS, R, leaving menus, run.
And we're going to run msconfig.exe.
Enter, desktop, folder view, list view, not selected. Okay. System configuration, utility dialog, general page, startup selection, normal startup, dash, load all device drivers and services, radio button checked, 1 of 3, all dead.
Okay, now it's got a bunch of tabs here, and we'll go up and look at them.
Root startup, normal startup, dash, load all, stop, check, system configuration, utility dialog, general tab, system.id tab, win.id tab, boot.id tab, services tab, startup tab.
So we have the general tab, the system.ini tab, the win.ini tab, the boot.ini tab, the services tab, and the startup tab. Let me describe to you what these things are. General, we'll look at that in just a minute, because we have some stuff in here that's crucial to understanding how this utility works. System.ini, well, that was really important, Windows 3.1. And so it's a holdover, and sometimes programs still put things in the system.ini, which is just a text file that that controls Windows parameters. But Windows XP pretty much ignores system.ini whenever it can get away with it. And so it's really only old programs that might put up startup parameters in here. Since msconfig is only designed to remove or add startup tasks, it doesn't control other applications that run, only things that run automatically when you start your computer. Win.ini is the same thing. It's another ASCII text file that was used to control user settings in Windows 3.1. Again, for legacy purposes, Win.ini is still somewhat supported in Windows XP. Programs can put stuff in there if they want. There's rarely anything in there unless you run a lot of old Windows 95, Windows 3.1 software. Boot.ini is the same thing. It doesn't usually run startup programs. It's mostly an ASCII text file that's hidden, actually, that controls how your system boots and what happens. Services will list all the services, which is Microsoft's term for daemons. Operating system background tasks are services, and these services load in your registry. And startup is the last tab here, and that controls what's going to run in your startup group. And the startup group is just like any other group on your start menu under programs, and it's just a list of shortcuts. And if you move a shortcut to your startup group, it's going to run automatically. So that's easily user controllable. Okay.
Startup selection group box.
Now here under general, there is the very important startup selection dialogue.
Normal startup dash load all device drivers and services radio button checked.
And that's how it usually runs. Normal startup, load all devices and services. And that means that just pretty much everything that's there is going to run.
Use original boot.ini radio button checked. Use modified boot.ini radio button not checked.
Okay, we're not going to mess with that. You can change what boot.ini you run, and if you have more in your system, it knows to let you do that.
Okay button, cancel button, apply button, unavailable help button.
Okay, now what's interesting here is
normal startup dash load all device drivers and services radio button check 1 of 3.
Even if you make changes in here, what's going to happen is if you don't change this, it will just normally start up, and you'll think, well, but I deleted all this stuff and it's still running. Well, that's because normal startup means run everything.
Startup select agnostic startup dash load basic devices and services only radio button check 2 of 3.
And that is useful if something's screwing up your system and you don't know what it is and you need your system to run well enough to figure out what it is. So you might want to run that diagnostic startup then.
Startup selection selective startup radio button check 3 of 3.
And selective startup is what it's gonna be in if you start making changes here in system configuration utility. And then what will happen is every time you boot, you get a little box from this msconfig that will say, hey, msconfig is running in selective startup mode for troubleshooting purposes. So that's one of the reasons I don't like this utility, is because it's too easy to forget and go back to normal startup, and then you thought you removed some things and they come back. But we're going to use it right now just as a diagnostic tool to see what is running. We've kind of already done this with Task Manager, but I'm trying to let you see it from different angles. So we'll just go to normal start.
General tab, PC cursor, general tab system.
Okay, so here we are.
Caps lock on, capsule tab, startup selection, normal startup dash load all device drivers and services radio button checked.
And that's what we
dead.
Want. So we're gonna go ahead and tab over to System.ini.
System.ini page 313 view semicolon for 16 dash bin app support 1 of 5. Set left bracket drivers right bracket closed. 2 left bracket inside right bracket 3 of 5. Left bracket driver 32 right bracket. Left bracket 386 and right bracket. Left bracket 3. Left bracket drivers right bracket semicolon for 16. Semicolon left bracket drivers right bracket. Left bracket drivers right bracket opened. 2 item. Level 1. Wave equals mmdrv.dll 1 of. Timer equals timer.drv 2 of. Level 0. Left bracket inside right bracket 3 of. Left bracket driver 32 right bracket.
Okay, so that's basically all that's running in your System.ini. That's for backward compatibility, and you probably don't want to screw that up. So we're just going to leave that the way it is.
Web.ini page 313 view semicolon for 16 dash mid app support 1 left bracket fonts right bracket 2 left bracket extensions right bracket left bracket inside extensions right bracket left bracket files right bracket left bracket mail right bracket closed left bracket MCI extension left bracket PC.
And we're actually looking at the entire Win.ini just as we were looking at the entire system.ini. Now, one thing that is kind of interesting in here is that there is some stuff for Kurzweil version 6, because I'm running such an old version of Kurzweil. So it just set up some temp directories and stuff. Once again, those are not really startup tasks, so there's no reason to mess with them.
Left bracket PC right bracket closed. Left bracket level 1. Virtual printer handler equals C colon backslash progra tilde 1 backslash cursor tilde 1 backslash common tilde 1 backslash router dot x dash r 1 to 1.
Yeah, and normally you wouldn't see that if you're running a current version of Kurzweil, which I'm not. So I do have this the Kessie virtual printer stuff that was set up in the win.ini. You can see how old it is. Okay, now we're going to go to the important part, which is
virtual.
My next tab.
Boot.ini page, list box, multi-left parent, zero right, multi-left parent.
And I'm not messing with my boot.ini. I only do that when I'm fooling with Linux, and I'm not going to fool with Linux on my work computer, so let's go over to System.ini.
Services page, list one, list view, application layer, gate, dot, 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 Microsoft Corporation, running.
Now, this is the interesting part. This is all the stuff, mostly, coming from
layer, gate, application layer, gate, dot, dot,
from
Microsoft,
Microsoft that Microsoft is running on the system. And we do have some nice long explanations of what these guys are.
Application layer, gate, dot, 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 Microsoft Corporation, running, check 1 of 81. Application management Microsoft Corporation stop checked. Ask.net state service Microsoft Corporation stop checked. Windows audio Microsoft Corporation running checked. Background intelligent dot 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 Microsoft Corporation stop checked.
So you get the idea. You can go through it here yourself and see what services are running.
Computer browser Microsoft Corporation running checked.
Just amazing the amount of daemons Microsoft thinks are necessary to get a single user Windows system up and running.
Indexing service Microsoft Corporation stop checked. Com plus system application Microsoft Corporation stop checked. Cryptographic services Microsoft Corporation running checked. DCOM server process L dot 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 yes Microsoft Corporation running checked. DevWatch unknown running checked.
Now there are several web pages that will list all the available services. You can go in and look at those web pages and decide which ones you don't want to have. I will be covering that in our next section, which ones I don't want to have and why.
DHCP client Microsoft Corporation running checked.
Okay. So you can go through all of these, and you can actually uncheck some of them if you want. I wouldn't advise it at this stage while you're still documenting how to degunk and what to degunk, but you could go in and check something, especially if it was causing you problems. And that's how I actually got into trouble with Norton. I unchecked a service that all the other parts of Norton needed, and then it griped at me endlessly. So, the other thing to remember here is there's another way to get in and change services that I think is better than msconfig, because if you go back to normal startup here in msconfig, all these services will come back. I'm going to show that to you next. Let's just go down to the bottom of the list.
Network provisioning S dot 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 Microsoft Corporation stop checked. Network provisioning S dot.
And I want to show you a couple other things about these services.
Enter. System configuration dialog. You must restart your computer for some of the changes made by system configuration to take effect. Period. Restart button. Hold R.
So if you accidentally pressed enter under any of these services, instead of getting a nice description of the service like you do with the next utility I'm going to show you, it actually tries to restart your computer. So you don't want to do that. So press escape.
Escape. 11:32 a.m. clock.
And I don't know. I think enter may uncheck. I think enter just clicks OK is the thing.
Title is.
So.
Alt tab desktop folder view list.
We're gonna rerun msconfig just so I can show you one more thing in it, and then I'll go to the services MMC application.
R leaving menus run dialog MSCOMG enter. System config.
Okay, and we'll go back over to services.
System.ini page win.ini page services page list one list ask dot computer browser Microsoft. DCOMs, DevWatch unknown, DHCP, logical disk, logical, error reporting service, event log, Microsoft Corporation running check, com plus event, class user switching, HTTPS, MOPCD, JFW service, server Microsoft, workstation Microsoft, TCP slash IP NetBIOS helper Microsoft Corporation running.
Okay, this TCP IP NetBIOS helper, I know I don't need this here at work because I just found out I don't. I want to show you the other tabs here.
Tab, hide all Microsoft services, checkbox not checked, alt tab, disable all button, alt D, tab, OK button.
OK, Okay, disabling all is a really bad idea. I don't even know why it's in here, because your computer just won't work.
Tab, cancel button, tab, help button, tab, services, tab, tab, list one, list view, TCP/IP, machine debug manager, net meeting remote, deduct, distributed transaction, Windows installer, Microsoft Corporation, stop checked. Tab, hide all Microsoft service, tab, disable all button, alt, tab, okay, tab, tab, help button.
Can no one?
Tab, service, tab, list one, tab, hide all Microsoft services, checkbox, not checked, alt, I.
Now, if we do this, hide all Microsoft services, and I just tabbed over to this button to get here. This is going to be really nice because we can see what other third-party junk is on here. So I'm going to do that.
Space, checked.
And it'll come back. We'll see all those Microsoft services the next time we run this program. So now...
Top of file, hide all Microsoft services, checkbox checked. Tab, disable all button, alt D, tab, OK button, tab, cancel, tab, help button, tab, services, tab. Tab, list one, list view, def watch unknown running.
Now we've got a huge number of services removed from our list. We've applied this filter.
Def watch unknown running, check 1 to 5. Imapi helper unknown, stop checked. JFW service freedom scientific, BLV group, comma, LLC running checked. Machine debug manager unknown running checked. Symantec antivirus client unknown running checked. Symantec antivirus.
So this isn't too bad. We've only got 5 services running when we get rid of all the Microsoft services. Now you don't necessarily need all these Microsoft services, but you can quickly tell what you don't, you know, what's non-Microsoft.
Machine JFW, Imapi helper unknown, stop checked.
Okay. Let's see. And what's really interesting here is you're actually seeing the names of the programs, the user-friendly names that show up in the properties of the .exe file, rather than the file names. And under Task Manager, you're seeing the file names. So sometimes it's a little hard. Like with this IMAPI helper, you're not sure, what is that file name in Task Manager? And it's kind of hard to find out. As I said, if you press Enter here, you're going to just be booted out of this config. Now the application that's going to give you much more information about the services that are running and show you their properties is called services.mmc, and I was going to show it to you, but I'm realizing this cast is getting a little bit long. So what I want to show you, one other quickie thing here, and then we'll call it quits for this time, and we'll go ahead and look at services.mmc next time. I've been pounding into you that it's super important, a document, and what I'd like to do now is show you very quickly how you can document without a lot of writing, if you do have issues with writing things down. And I only know how to do this with JAWS, so let's just crank up our volume a little bit here.
Title is desktop.
Okay, so we're going to call it the task manager again, and
Alt Control Delete Windows Secure. Alt T Windows Task Manager dialog. Performance page. Performance tab. Networking tab. Applications tab. Processes tab.
Okay, we're here in our processes tab now, and the first thing I'm going to do is maximize the window because I want as much to show up as possible.
Alt Space Menu System X Leaving Menus Processes tab.
Okay, now I'm going to take a look at the process that's on top.
Tab, processes, list view, task group.x, administrators, home, jokeroo.x, admin, jokeroo.x,
that's the processor.
Admin, all done.
That's the process that is shown at the top of the list. Now we're going to look at the process that's at the bottom of the list.
End. Bottom of file, system idle process, system idle process, system 886.
Okay, so we know that the system idle process is at the end of the list and the JAWS hooker duber is at the top of the list. We're going to try to paste this thing in a notepad, and then you can save it. And can only give us the screen, so we want to make sure we don't miss anything. So let's go up to the top again.
Top of file, jokeroo.x.
Okay, and now in JAWS, what you can do is virtualize the current window, which basically means save the current window into the virtual buffer. So if you are using WindowEyes and someone else would like to cast how to do this in WindowEyes, that's fine with me. I don't know how. So do insert Control W, which takes 9 hands here. On my laptop, it's Caps Lock Control W, which is a little easier to hit.
2.
Let's try it one more time here. It's hard to really do this. You have to have better coordination than me.
Virtualizing current window, Graphic 60 Windows Task Manager.
Okay, so what's happened now is it's got the virtual viewer open. It has the whole window, Windows text up. And so I'm going to do Control A to select all.
Selected 1164 characters up to arch colon 214m slash 1249m.
Okay, then I'm going to do copy.
Copy selection to clipboard.
Okay, and now because the task manager is something called a system modal task, it kind of messes up other stuff. So it's better to just make it all go away.
Escape, is escape.
Goodbye.
Alt F4. Shut down Windows, escape.
We don't want to do that. So let's run Notepad now.
Start menu, R, leaving menu, O-T-E-P-A-D, enter, desktop, folder, view, list, view, not selected, my documents, 1 of 34, untitled, dash, notepad, edit, alt, plus.
And we're going to paste in a notepad our virtual window.
Paste it from clipboard.
Okay, so now we're in Notepad and we're looking here at the Task Manager Windows text. Now, this is not the screen. This is what JAWS off-screen model sees is on the screen.
Toggle file, graphic 60, Windows Task Manager.
And you know, I should have turned off graphics because then we wouldn't have had these stupid graphic 60 and graphic 20 here. Because now we actually have text, G-R-A-P-H-I-C.
File options, view help. Applications, processes, performance, networking. Image name, username, CP, jupyter.x, graphic, BCP, start.
So now we have all these names in here, all spelled nicely, and we have a single space between each column. So if you're conversant with, say, a Unix utility like awk or something, you can go ahead and change these around and just keep all the names of the processes and get rid of the other columns.
Bottom of file, processes, now, colon 36C.
Now I'm going to go down to the bottom because I need to see if we got all of the processes list, which I don't think we did.
Shut ready. System idle process. System.
We did.
MMSCSR.
Last time it went down to win logon and I couldn't get the rest of the screen in, but I killed a few processes that I knew what they were. So now I was able to get the whole screen pasted into my virtual window.
SMS at system. System idle process. Ready. Show processes from all users and process.
Yep. So here we are. So now we can just save this Notepad file and I can say this is file A, and this is my computer B, so I can say computer B task manager,
T-A-S-K-A-A-G-E-R.
And it puts a TXT extension on it. And now I've got a file that lists all the tasks that are running, which will be handy when I go start to Google for all these weird names and I want to cut and paste them into Google. I won't have to spell them out. I can just point to it and paste it in there. Now, if you were going to be a little cleverer than I was here, you would get rid of the graphics so JAWS wouldn't put them in Notepad. And just be really sure that you get all the tasks pasted in from your window. All right, well, there's a lot more to cover in degunking Windows. We haven't actually done any degunking yet, but we have analyzed our gunk. We know what it is, and now we can go to battle. And we will begin to battle in our next podcast. See you next time.